The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I don't want to. I started to say. No, I'm not. I'm not even going to go there. All right. I'm not even going to go there. I was talking to someone this afternoon that leads a Christian organization, a Christian political action group. I'm not going to give you any more information than that because our conversation was confidential, but. He was extremely concerned about the direction that America is headed, and I don't want this to come across wrong, but I needed to kind of talk him off the ledge. I am deeply concerned as well. All right, I have not always been supportive of Donald Trump. You know that. I haven't hidden it. There have been many times I have criticized him, and I make no apologies for that. You know, I told you that I don't have unconditional loyalty to anyone, and I don't. But I don't think he's an evil man. I don't. He is an imperfect, flawed man. He has some serious character flaws. He at times suffers from some pretty severe narcissism. He does. If you're going to be honest and objective, you have to admit that, okay? But I don't think he's an evil man. Flawed, yes. I think Nancy Pelosi is evil. I think Chuck Schumer is evil. I think Jerry Nadler is evil. I think Maxine Waters is evil. And I could name a whole bunch more of leftists that I just think they're evil because they support openly, blatantly evil things. Abortion is evil. The redefinition of marriage is evil. The rejection of God's definition of gender is evil. The reappropriation of sexuality other than what God has designed is evil. Those things are evil. And if you support those things, you are a willing participant of something that is evil. So what am I saying? I think we're going to have a bunch of evil people in charge of our government. I don't always agree with Mitch McConnell, the majority leader in the Senate, but I don't think he's evil. I don't. Kevin McCarthy, in the Republican House, I've disagreed with him on a lot of occasions, but I don't think he's evil. So, what do we do if we honestly have evil people in charge of our government, which I believe we will for the foreseeable future? And I say that cautiously, carefully, advisedly, but truthfully. I think our government is going to be under control of some evil people. So what do? Scripture is not silent on this. Neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament. I suggest that you do a new, fresh study of the book of Daniel. Seriously. I don't believe there is any book in the Old Testament that is more appropriate and applicable to what we're experiencing in America today than the book of Daniel. The character, the man Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the key characters in the book of Daniel were living among evil people, evil leaders, an evil secular kingdom. Check out how Daniel responded. He supported the kings every opportunity that he had. He supported evil kings. By the way, Daniel didn't just live under Nebuchadnezzar. He lived under several evil kings. Remember, he was in captivity for 70 years. And whenever he possibly could, he supported the king. In fact, he rose through the ranks to positions of great power and great authority in a secular, pagan, evil government. Think about that. If you know anything about the book of Daniel, you cannot deny that. However, when that secular evil government, the secular evil king said, you will do this, and whatever that command was, it was in contradiction to God's command, then Daniel took a stand. And by the way, he didn't try to overthrow the government. He just simply said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And as a result, he was thrown in the lion's den. He stood for truth. He refused to obey ungodly orders. Now, again, here's the point I want this to come home to you. For years and years and years and years and years, he lived under totalitarian, evil, pagan kings. And for the most part, he did what they told him to do. One time that he is famous for, the lion's den. It finally came to the place where he could not obey the king in worshiping this statue, this idol. And so Daniel went home, opened the doors, and did what he did every single day. He prayed towards Jerusalem. And his enemies caught him, brought him before the king, and the king, who had loved him and respected him and honored him, ordered him to be thrown into the lion's den. And at that point, Daniel disobeyed the king, obeyed God, and trusted God for the circumstances. I didn't think this up. It's not original with me, but I have posted it several times on Facebook and other places. If God gives us a Nebuchadnezzar, be a Daniel. Same is true with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They obeyed the king, obeyed the government as much as they possibly could until the government said, you have to do this, and that was in direct contradiction to the commands of God. And they said, no, we will obey, we will honor, but no, we can't do that. Okay, heat up the furnace 7 times hotter than it usually is. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and they simply trusted God. There's several instances like that. I think Daniel is the most appropriate for today. But then the New Testament. Look at what the followers of Jesus endured under a pagan, secular, evil, atheistic government. Have you read the book of Acts? Have you read how they responded? They obeyed the government in every possible way that they could until the government said, you can't preach in the name of Jesus. Sorry, God told us that we have to. No, you can't. Sorry. We got to obey God rather than man. And they suffered the consequences. And what happened? The New Testament church was not only born, it exploded. Under a time of persecution, under a secular, evil, totalitarian government, the church exploded in growth. And Paul writes in Romans 13, obey those that are over you.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Allow me, if you will, to continue what I was saying before the break, because it's so important that we stay biblical, that we are motivated by a biblical worldview, not a secular worldview, that we are involved in politics, but we have our faith and trust in a sovereign God. You see, as long as we're on this earth, there is going to be a constant battle between the two kingdoms. If you're a regular listener, you know what I'm talking about. And this is one of the most important principles in all of the Bible to understand. And that's why I bring it up often. If you are a born-again believer, and by the way, if you're not, you need to accept Christ as Savior. And you could do it right now, right this minute. You could say a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I also know that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I accept the free gift of salvation. I claim you as my Lord and Savior. It's that simple. You could do that right now and become a child of God, be born again, and know that heaven is your home. Now, if you are a born-again believer, you are a citizen of two kingdoms. You are a citizen of a physical, material kingdom. And that's made up of where you live. We are citizens of the United States of America. Other people are citizens of China. Other people are citizens of Peru. Other people are citizens of Germany. That's their physical, material kingdom. Our kingdom is the United States of America. We have authority here that we are obligated, we are commanded under Scripture to honor and obey until such time that we are ordered to do something that would displease God or would contradict his clear commands. And that goes to Daniel that I was talking about earlier, goes to the apostles when they were commanded not to preach and so on and so forth. All right. We have a constitution. That is our authority. And we are obligated to be in submission and surrender to that authority, whether other people are or not. Okay? And we submit and surrender as much as we possibly can, regardless of who the president is and the party and so on. But then we are also, if you're born again, members of a heavenly kingdom. Literally, heaven is our home. The book of Ephesians says that once we accept Christ as Savior, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position. That's our home. We have a constitution. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. We have a king, but not just a king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. And we owe our total loyalty and obedience unconditionally to Christ and his kingdom. Now, since we live in two kingdoms and we have dual allegiance, it is usually possible to have allegiance to both of those kingdoms without conflict. And so we have allegiance to America, we have allegiance to Christ and to his kingdom, we have allegiance to the Constitution, we have allegiance to the Word of God. Occasionally, those kingdoms come into conflict. When they do, we never, never, ever even hesitate. Our first allegiance is to Jesus Christ, his kingdom, and the Word of God. Please understand that. My first allegiance is to Jesus and his kingdom and the Word of God. And that's why when the physical material kingdom is in disarray, when there's confusion, we find our comfort, our peace, and our direction from our heavenly kingdom. That thing about what would Jesus do, that has been used as a cliche forever, and usually it's appropriate, sometime it isn't, and I've discussed that in time past. But it is always appropriate. What is the response commanded by the Word of God? We're facing uncertain times in America. We are facing people in our government that, as I said before, and I believe it, are actually evil. How do we respond? We look for biblical precedent. We respond biblically, not politically. We respond biblically, not emotionally. We respond biblically. I encourage you, study the book of Daniel, read the book of Acts, and see how God's people have responded to situations similar to what we are going to be facing. The Bible has the answers. Have a great evening, folks, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.